Hello, welcome to the show. My name is Angela Skirtu. I'm a licensed marriage therapist and certified sex therapist. Joining me today is my handsome, wonderful husband, Joshua Skirtu.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to the show, Joshua. So I want to ask you about video games. Today's topic is about video games and relationships. And I wonder, what kinds of video games do you like to play?
Everything. I play first-person shooters. I mostly play on console. I play PlayStation 4. Right now I play Verdun, I'll play Destiny.
What do you think are the differences between like couples who do video games in a good way versus couples who are doing it in a poor way?
So bad is when the guy will, of course, because it's a guy. Men like to play a lot of video games.
I think women like to play, but maybe not as much as men.
Sure. But what'll happen in a bad way is that you'll just play all day long and you'll ignore your wife, ignore your kids, and
oh yeah, that makes us sad.
Everybody will hate you and your house is on fire. And
Yeah. Well, maybe your house doesn't go on fire, but I've definitely seen problematic behavior.
It happens.
It's almost like they have kind of an addictive personality or something.
Sure.
Going into it.
But I take a different path because I'm a gamer, but I also want to have a happy wife and I would love my daughter, so I'd like her to be somewhat happy.
Somewhat happy. We can only go so far. She's 18 months.
I have to find a way to balance it. So the balance is my wife comes first. It's that simple. So
how do you put me first?
If you come home and you want to spend time with me, the video game goes off. It's
you know, I totally see that too. But like if I ask him, I'll be like, hey, babe, when are you going to be done with your video games?
Yeah,
and he says, he gives me a time frame, which that's been helpful for some of my clients
like,
too.
I'm going to play for 4 more hours.
No.
And then I'll spend 7 minutes with you. And then I'm going to play for another
That is
hours.
Not a healthy quality of life. And you know
not.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like you'll do like an hour or 2 hours. And also, this is something that I've noticed
well,
that's been helping.
Well, I also schedule it. So I like gaming. It's my hobby. But I have to prioritize my life and organize things because we got a lot going on. So I have to schedule when I'm going to play.
Well, we'll talk about it in the mornings. And I've used this same skill that we do where we negotiate for how much time we're going to spend doing whatever during the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used that same skill to teach other couples who are struggling with their video games to like negotiate at the beginning of a Saturday or a Sunday for time they have by themselves versus time that they're spending together. So it doesn't feel like the video games will take over the whole day.
Right. Unless they want it to.
Well, and that's the thing. They can schedule for days. Like there are some days
but
where you can do that like all day for 2 days, 3 days.
It's like, oh, my wife has to go to a conference and somebody's watching my daughter. I guess I will not wear pants today and just play video games.
I've definitely seen those days.
Yeah, but normally I do it when she's away. You know, I get those days where I play a good amount of the day, you know. You still got to move, though. You got to get out and exercise. Don't just sit there all day.
What are the kinds of games that tend to last that long? You know, like you told me different categories of games.
The worst offender is an MMO. That's a massively multiplayer online game. And they are very addictive, and they have a big social mechanism to the game, where it's a big part of the game is socializing with other players and playing with other players.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they're so addictive, is that you can get all your social life done in the game.
So you almost
and
don't have any time left for your wife or your partner.
Because your orc wife in World of Warcraft needs you too.
I wonder if there's affairs happening in the World of Warcraft.
Sure. Like I used to know people, I used to play MMO. I cut my MMOs out of my life because they took way too much of my time. But I used to play and there were people who would have virtual marriages in the game. They wouldn't have any relationship with the person in real life, but they would have a virtual marriage where their character would role play marry another character.
I've known actually several couples who struggle with like Second Life, for example.
Normally it's two dudes.
No, like I want to tell you a story. So like I've had several couples where Second Life is a type of game like that where they have a marriage in the video game world, and like I've had the couples arguing in my office about, oh, he's spending more time with his wife there than he is with me, and that's kind of dangerous, especially for their love life.
I know.
Which, speaking of which, I'd like to change topics to finances. So in addition to...
What was that speak in reference? No, we weren't speaking about finances at all.
Well, I'd like to change the topic.
Speaking of sex, Let's talk about money.
I like to talk about money too. What do you think? So like, I get a lot of couples who fight about different things. One of the fights that I get is couples figuring out how to put their finances together, especially at the beginning of the relationship, although it transfers all the way into the other later relationships too. What are your thoughts about like the best ways to put finances together?
I don't know. You're the therapist. Maybe you should tell me.
Well,
I know our model is we are the communal model.
Yeah.
All of our finances go together and all of our bills are paid together. And then we have budgeted different things. We both have a chunk of money every month that we can spend on whatever we want.
It's our personal budget.
And we also have money set aside for bills, and we set aside money for savings.
And we do like monthly budgeting meetings or quarterly. Like they're not always every month. Like
you make it sound like we're a corporation. It's like
it's our family business.
We also need to talk a little bit about these redundancies. I'm sorry, Olivia, but
Olivia, you're gonna have to go.
We're gonna have another daughter soon, and I don't think we'll need you around too much more. But
no.
We have a great severance package. You can keep two toys.
She's allowed to keep two toys. My poor baby, you're not allowed to get rid of Olivia, and you know it.
Yeah.
No, but so like I like our model because I think that it's kind of flexible. Mm-hmm. So there's part of it that's on the bank, you know, at the bank, but then some of it comes into cash.
Means.
Well, so like where couples seem to struggle.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Let me explain. So where couples seem to struggle is that, you know, like do they do the cash budget where you're actually taking stuff out in envelopes or do you have like separate accounts? Like some people have a joint account, but then they have separate personal accounts, and other people see that as like not okay, that it's all joint account. And then everything has to come from that one account. But then they'll get into fights about who's spending what because they're not budgeting in some way together.
Mm-hmm.
Or one person will be on the budgeting while the other person's not.
Right. That comes down to one person cares about the finances and the other one just wants to go shopping. So.
Or the other one's scared of the finances. I've seen that many times.
Yeah.
Where they're like freaked out and they're like, you do it. But then they get mad.
They get mad when they can't go buy some new shoes.
Yeah, they get mad and they feel like their partner is
controlling
them.
Yep.
We've had that a little bit, though,
sure.
At times.
Yeah. You're very controlling.
I was going to say it's the other way, but we've each been in charge of the finances at different times.
Yeah. And I'm in charge of them because I've seen what you do with them.
I'm pretty good at finances, but he is very good at managing things.
Yeah. It works.
Well, so one final topic we wanted to cover in today's podcast was
how
poly and plural marriages work or don't work. Do you think poly marriages work, Josh?
No. But I don't know anybody who is in a poly marriage at all in real life. You know, I've seen something on TV or something.
Yeah, like you know. Married and Dating or something.
No, it was more of adult themed.
Inappropriate. Yeah, there's a lot of adult theme videos out there, but I'm talking more about we don't know many people, but
so define it. What is a poly or a plural marriage?
All right, so well actually one is more religious, so a plural marriage actually is referred to a very small sect of Mormonism that is practicing polygamy. But then polyamory is actually a different thing where it's just multiple loves, lots of people loving lots of other people. They believe either one, that you can have like a primary relationship and then there are secondary relationships that are supposed to add to it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they
That's
believe
your side piece.
What's that? Yeah.
Your side
you
piece.
Can have a
yeah.
few side pieces.
You got a side six pack.
Yeah. or eight pack. Who knows?
That's not quibble with numbers.
You just started the quibble with numbers.
Hey, don't you back talk to me.
I'll backtalk you all I want. No, but then the other piece is that, you know, basically they feel like they could equally love as many people. And so they really don't like to define it that much. It's about trying to have as equal of love as possible. Now, as a therapist, I feel like I'm kind of, well, just
equal as love as
like
possible.
They don't do the primary and secondary thing.
I see.
They
so
have
they just love
everybody. Lots of love. I can love so many people and let's not define this too hard, that kind of thing. But one thing
so
I
they have a problem with commitment. Got it.
Yeah. I don't know, perhaps.
No, I'm sure some of them are very happy.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure
but
there's
how
people
do,
who are both.
So you have met people who do it.
I do. I have met.
Of the ones that are successful, how do they do it? Like, Do they set boundaries? Is that what makes it work? Is it that they just don't talk about it and then they repress all that anger and jealousy?
I've seen both. So I've
both
seen
work.
I want to say I've seen both. I'm not sure how well they're always working, because it's actually rare as a therapist for somebody to come to me and say, "Hey, I'm going to pay you money and tell you how awesome my life is."
Right.
Usually people are coming because they're having problems. I'll say the happiest couple I ever met was this old couple that was sex addicts or something, you know, like, and they just swang away, you know? And so, like, if you both have similar values and morals, then there won't be any issues, you know? Like, that's what they want. They wanted to just have as much sex, and they both had a similar page about it. But they also had a boundary of doing it together every time. And so some couples, that's what their boundary is.
Yeah.
They're mostly swingers, but they still, like, they could have sex as much as they wanted. Mm-hmm. Whereas some couples, the way they do it is they really talk and negotiate through their boundaries of, like, what's okay, what's not okay, what do we do if it feels like an outside party is trying to pull us out of the primary relationship?
So, like, a godfather situation?
Tell me what a
godfather. Keep pulling me back in and I try to get out.
Perhaps a godfather situation.
Okay. Just clarifying.
Yeah, well, where it feels like somebody's kind of a threat to their original relationship.
Do they have a knife?
Not a knife threat, but a threat in the way that, like, it could break the first relationship.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so that's kind of what they do, is they have long negotiations. But there are other ones that have a don't ask, don't tell policy.
The best way to have a happy marriage is long negotiation sessions.
We do it all the time, Josh.
We sit down and have long boardroom meetings.
With a briefcase.
And I am so happy at the end of the day.
Actually, Josh, you and I are negotiating all the time. We don't quite negotiate like a boardroom, but we are constantly going back and forth. We recently had a negotiation about the ice cube trays. I don't know if you remember this.
Because I was right.
Josh, for our whole marriage, the ice cube trays have been 4 cubes. You had to leave 4 cubes so that the next person getting ice had enough for their drink. And then halfway through our marriage...
Or if not, you fill it up with new water.
Yeah, all but right. Then halfway through our marriage, he says, let's do it halfway. And I'm like, no, our whole marriage, it's been this way. You can't change it.
I had a very valid reason.
I
went into the fridge and all of the trays had 4 cubes in them exactly.
That doesn't mean, like, the rules can't be taken advantage of.
Okay, so I'm going to get one cup of water. I come back an hour later. Well, now I get to fill a second tray because you wanted to take everything but 4 cubes.
Thank you for joining us today on our podcast. Please join us every week where we talk about relationships, sex, and love. Sometimes Josh will join me and sometimes I'll be on my own.
I see how it is. Thanks. Have a good night, guys.